This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Inside access to the National Football League. NFL Insider Jason LaConfora. Ravens Insider Ken Wyman.
Joining us now, the former Hall of Fame coach, Bill Cowher.
Boomer Esiason, the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay.
And the host of BFD, that's Baltimore Football Daily, Tim Barbalace. The League at Large.
Sponsored by Chick-fil-A. Score big and celebrate the purple and black with a Chick-fil-A nuggets or strips tray, sides or dessert for your tailgate or home party. Order through the Chick-fil-A app, online, or by calling ahead.
105.7 La Fan.
Yeah, so we try to look at everything. Having just finished here a little bit ago, we're going through that whole process. And so we'll try to improve just in general as a football team. That'll be one of the spots we look at, so for sure.
So that's Andy Reid being asked if the struggles in the Super Bowl make him want to upgrade the offensive line.
You have to be a moron not to.
What's interesting, though, like the surprise of Ronnie Stanley possibly returning to Baltimore, a lot of reports out there that the Chiefs are going to retain Trey Smith. Like, we thought he'd get big money on the open market.
Yeah, I still...
You're not buying that?
I'm not totally buying that.
Travis Kelce is returning for what that's worth.
Jason, you were pointing out even during the playoff run that Ronnie Stanley would make a ton of sense for the Chiefs. Now, assuming he does re-up with the Ravens prior to free agency, what is their move there?
I mean, Cam Robinson, I thought, did a nice job for the Vikings after Darisaw went down.
Yeah.
And that's hard to change teams like that, and especially to go from a team that was going literally nowhere and everybody's waiting for the coach to be fired to one where everybody's saying, my God, the Vikings can't lose a game, and not much was expected of them. So I think Cam Robinson would be an upgrade. I think getting Joe Tooney, he's got small arms. It just is what it is. Getting Joe Tooney back inside has got to be an organizational priority for them, and they've got to rework his deal in all likelihood, too. And by rework it, I mean keep paying him.
Yeah.
So I don't know that they want a 30 million dollar guard next, you know, on the other side of him. I would be shocked if they don't do something to get a left tackle. Now, they've been drafting a lot of offensive linemen. They've hit on the interior guys better than they've hit on the tackles, but I'm sure they haven't given up on some of their younger guys, and maybe they draft one in the first round.
Let's hear from Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott talking about Philadelphia showing the importance of a strong defensive front in their Super Bowl run.
Well, I think it's a philosophical thing more than anything. That's what I believe in. That's, as you saw, that's a pretty good copy, you know, carbon copy of what you can do. And, you know, give credit to the Eagles, to their players, played well in this and that, and scheme and this and that. But it's never about one game, and it's just overall, generally speaking, you have to, when you're in these seats, you have a general philosophy on how you believe the game should be played and how things are built. And so it's really what I came from years ago in Philadelphia, ironically enough. And, you know, I've talked about it since we've been here. So, yeah, that was a heck of a game to watch.
I wouldn't even say this and that. They played well, and they had a great scheme. Crybaby Vic Fangio getting it done. Buffalo, it sounds like Von Miller's done.
Yeah.
And they've drafted some guys who have not fulfilled what they thought.
Yeah, I think the arrow's probably up on Russo, but obviously the Boogie Basham thing didn't work. Some other guys haven't played out. He came from Philadelphia. And people forget that. Like, Jim Johnson, he was sort of the heir apparent there, and then Jim Johnson got sick, and McDermott, at one point in time, was the youngest defensive coordinator. Might have been in the history of football, but certainly was in football at that time, and then he kind of became a scapegoat when the Eagles did a lot of free agent spending that didn't work out. But he has to be looking at that, and that's a team that I think is laying in the weeds. But remember, last year was about getting rid of the Diggs contract, right, and getting some things back in order, and we're going to run it back with Vaughn. They paid Vaughn a lot of money not to do a whole lot. So I wonder, like, could they get a Myles Garrett? Could they get a Max Crosby? I don't think the Raiders want to trade a Max Crosby. Do they take a shot on Bosa when that thing is over? And do they sign somebody as well? I have to think that they know, with Mahomes being their daddy, right, that if we really don't have dudes up front, we're not beating them in Arrowhead when it matters. We might beat them in November. We're not beating them in February, January.
Can't beat them at home in January.
They need pass rush for sure, but don't they need size? I mean, how often were we saying that that's a light defensive front? You can run on them. Don't you think they need to get some run stuffers in there too?
I don't know. I think maybe. I think he has a certain way of playing that he believes in. I think if he had more individual brilliance on the pass rush, I actually think he'd be more inclined to keep doing what he's doing. And if you want to run, we could always sell out and take it away if we have to. We saw that. Or we can let you do that. But at some point, we're going to get you into second and long, third and long, and we think we could turn you over or, you know, make your quarterback pee down his own leg.
Well, you mentioned Joey Bosa. Well, Joe Ortiz, former Ravens director of college scouting, now the GM of the L.A. Chargers, talks about his defensive end.
I think you take everything in. Well, it's just Joey and every other player, you know, like, right. And, you know, but you weigh it all and you make decisions. But what I'll say about Joey is I love Joey just like you love Joey. And that he's an awesome dude and a great teammate. Loves the Chargers. Said he wants to retire as a Charger. He's come out and said that. And I'd love for him to retire as a Charger. So just I had a blast with him. And I didn't know Joey. I didn't know any of these guys.
Right.
And a fun, just a great dude and a great teammate and cares so much about the game and the organization and the team and his teammates. It's been a blast.
Now remind me, who did Joe Ortiz work under in Baltimore?
EDC.
And does that not sound like EDC long talking high about Mark Andrews yesterday and Odell Beckham 367 yesterdays ago? Not right out of the EDC school of a guy who we ain't paying that kind of money to no more? Forget about
almost
it.
Almost identical.
Mwah!
We love him.
And talking points.
And Ortiz worked, because Ortiz was in Baltimore for a long time where he worked with Eric even way prior to him being GM.
Yeah, I can't. Look, they didn't draft this guy. This guy hasn't been good for years. This guy's
loves
damaged
him, though.
Goods. There's no way. I mean, I can't imagine they run him back. The only way he's back,
dude,
is if he takes a Ronnie Stanley type haircut. Nah, I don't think he's
doing that. Somebody will pay for pass rush.
Sure, he'll think somebody will pay.
Well, yeah, somebody might end up. A lot of people like to pay for pass rush, broken down or not.
Yeah, I think he's pretty broken down. And I think the market's going to speak because I think Khalil Mack's going to do really well, right? These guys are coming from the same kind of place. I think Khalil Mack's going to do really well. And we'll see. I mean, maybe Bosa gets overpaid. Maybe Bosa gets a deal like Von Miller did a couple years ago. But, again, we're talking about that's a deal the Bills are trying to extricate themselves from.
Hey, I wanted your thoughts before we step out on this Matthew Stafford situation. Do you think he ends back in L.A. at the end of the day? I saw that there's now these reports that Tom Brady's been talking to Matthew Stafford about trying to get him to Vegas.
Well, if you recall, it was Sean McVay not that long ago happened to be in Mexico at the same time Matthew Stafford and his wife were vacationing in Mexico, and they hung out. Now Tom Brady, you know, he's
ski trip in Montana,
elite resort in Montana, and look, I think I think there'll be competition. I think there'll be teams that are willing to roll the dice on him for $50 million a year. It's not Tom Brady's money. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the GM's money at the end of the day. On a short-term deal, hoping that they can do what Sean McVay did with him a few years ago. I'm sure Brady can be pretty persuasive. That's a really bad football team, though, man. Like, and it's a bad offensive line and
tough division too.
Man, oh man, tough division. And do you really want to get beat up there? I don't know. Now, I'm sure they'll say, "Hey, you get the private plane whenever you want, or we'll put it in your contract." Because yeah, I think he really likes living where they're living in Malibu. I mean, Malibu to Vegas on a private plane is probably 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, what matters to Matt Stafford the most right now? I don't know. He's got a borderline Hall of Fame career. He's already got the ring. If he just wants to sort of compile and live comfortably, not a lot of expectations, I don't know.
It's been interesting to see how that all turns out. I did see Sean McVay was asked about Stafford yesterday, and he gave one of those 75-second answers, which, like Eric DaCosta, like Joe Ortiz, is like, yeah, we love him, but I don't feel more confident about him staying after hearing that.
No.
Yeah. We'll come back, get back to the Ravens, purple rain in the forecast, and non-Justin Tucker conversation from yesterday's pressers. The optimism on Ronnie Stanley and, I guess, the pessimism on Mark Andrews. We'll hear from Eric DaCosta and discuss next year.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
here on the Fan.
Well, Ronnie and I did a deal the last time, so that's great. He and I have a good friendship. We've known each other for a long time. He's got a great agent in Kim Miale. Never want to say 100%, but I feel good that we'll have a good, healthy debate, a good process. We're going to meet with Kim in Indy this week, and I'm optimistic that we'll be able to get a deal done.
When we got past the Justin Tucker answers, this was the thing that stood out to me yesterday when Eric DaCosta spoke, just how optimistic he was that Ronnie Stanley would be returning to the Ravens. And it's almost a little bit of an about face to where we were at the end of your press conference, Jason, where it sounded like, hey, it's probably going to be Roger Rosengarten at left tackle or maybe a draft, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be Ronnie Stanley.
We could all be reading this wrong, or he could be sending, you know, mixed signals for whatever reason. But this is the most definitively they've spoken about Ronnie Stanley in any regard for a long time. You know, I don't remember him talking about it when they went through the process last year where we knew he was going to be asked to take a haircut to stay. I don't remember at the combine last year everybody thinking that that was a slam dunk. And certainly the way this year ended, there's a lot of people who watch this team regularly who would make the argument maybe you got the best you could ever get out of Ronnie Stanley and you're grooming Rosengarten to be the guy tending the blind side anyway. So for him to be speaking in these terms under that backdrop tells me one of two things. Either he is, this is all sort of nefarious and he's trying to send, you know, weird vibes out into the market because he doesn't think he's getting this player, or he thinks he's got a wink-wink with this player, and barring something totally unforeseen happening as his agent starts talking to other teams, they think they've got this sort of in their back pocket.
That's my read.
I think he's got a wink-wink. He doesn't have that type of tone or talk that type of way about an impending free agent. You'd have to think that they're close.
Yeah, I can't remember a time where they spoke as optimistically about a player heading into potentially free agency before.
And Jason, the perfect example was during the season-ending press conference when he was talking about Patrick Ricard. That sounded very optimistic. That
was like
Ronnie
that.
Stanley trumps that.
Well, especially for a player like this who clearly injuries and warts and whatever would have a market. I mean, you can't find anybody who looks at this very tepid class of free agents and wouldn't say he's one of the best 10 football players potentially available. Now, is he going to get he's not 25 like some of these other guys. He doesn't have as much upside. He's not going to get as much money in the guaranteed into year three or any of that stuff as some of these other guys.
And there are some injury concerns.
Big time. But, yeah, he obviously feels like they're aligned with Ronnie Stanley, and despite all the sort of murkiness and nebulous stuff around this player for all those reasons, we're not even into the combine truly formally yet. Most teams, like he just said, haven't even had all their meetings they want to have with agents. And for him to be speaking in fairly certain terms, They must have laid some of this groundwork with Ronnie Stanley a year ago. When he took that haircut, he must have come out at Mr. EDC's barbershop with a handshake and a smile. You know what I mean? And not saying, hey, I thought you were leaving a little more on the sides and a little more on the top. And is that really? Did you have to take the hedge clippers to me?
So the optimism abounds when concerning Ronnie Stanley. When talking about Mark Andrews, it was a much different tone yesterday.
Mark is a great player. We're blessed to have three really good tight ends under contract this year. They all contribute in different ways. Their chemistry, their camaraderie, their impact on the offense, the relationship with the other skill guys is great. I mean, Mark's going to go down as one of our great players. He'll be in the Ring of Honor someday. I love having Mark on the team. He's an awesome player. I know he's going to have an amazing season. We'll figure out all the roster machinations over the coming weeks. But I can tell you, there's no bigger fan of Mark Andrews than me. And he's been a blessing to have on the team, his leadership, the way he approaches the game, his attention to detail. He's just one of those guys.
He may love him, but it sounds like he's going to love him from
afar.
Sounds
like a long last goodbye to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of past tense, a lot of interesting verbal gymnastics and syntax that he kind of went to there. It sounds like the Joe Ortiz clip that we just played about Joey Bosa, which sounds like the Eric DaCosta clip talking about Odell Beckham from last offseason and the way DaCosta's talked about. I mean, that sounds like the way he talked about Calais Campbell when it kind of started becoming clear that, you know, two contracts was enough here. Like, that's – I don't know that they might be thinking they're going to get more for him. I would tend to think that they're realist about this and they would understand. And I took the temperature of some general managers about this right after the playoff loss. And I think they'd do really well to get fourth round value for him. And it's probably going to be, you know, a bad team's. They've got two fourth round picks, the lesser pick, not the high pick. Or it might require what DaCosta loves to do. Oh, well, we'll also flop picks with you in the fifth round or the seventh round. But I think at the end of the day, he's not going to do better than a four. But that also doesn't sound like a dude he intends to keep paying. Not when he's got two other tight ends to pay.
He's had two chances to come out and say Mark Andrews is under contract for 2025. We'll see what happens when 2026 comes. But he's going to be on this football team next year. He has done everything but that.
No, he's talking about a guy whose trade value is trying to trump up.
He's letting 31 other teams know that Mark Andrews is available. That's what it's
like. And we still think he's pretty good, and we're going to try to get good value for him. But...
yeah. We're live inside the Maryland Club at the Xfinity Center. Terps take on Michigan State. That game is in just about 2 hours. Pregame coverage starts at 5:30 right here on 105.7 The Fan. And coming up next, the athletic director at the University of Maryland, Damon Evans. He's going to join us next here on The Fan. We're live inside the Maryland Club at the Xfinity Center. Terps and Michigan State, they tip off in about 2 hours. And it's our pleasure to welcome the athletic director from the University of Maryland, Damon Evans, back to the program. And Damon, thanks as always for joining us. There's a buzz around this place. We were talking off the air. You're pretty fired up for this one.
I am. I'm excited. This is what you live for. If you're a student athlete, you're a basketball player, and you have this type of big time game, this is what you come to the University of Maryland for. And what our team has done, what Kevin has done with the team, and how they've gelled, and the way we're playing and winning up-tempo basketball, shooting it well, defending it well. Tonight is a chance to make a huge statement.
Tonight and really the rest of the regular season, you got Michigan next week, but they've been getting, rightfully so, the Terps have been getting a lot of national love recently, one of the hottest teams in the country, winning 8 of 9. The Crab Five, everybody's been really awesome. Leaning into the Crab Five.
It's a cool name, and kudos to those young men. But you know what's impressed me most about that group is they realize that it's not just about them. They talked about their teammates. They talked about how it's more than just the starters and what the other guys have contributed to this team. And that tells you a lot about how they've gelled and how they've come together. So all the accolades that they're getting, it's great right now. It's great for our program. But I'm just excited for the opportunities that we have ahead of us. And I'm glad our fans get to have a team like this and witness these young men play at a high level.
We, you know, in the media, we look at the game and it's kind of through like the portal of wins and losses, and obviously you do as well, but this is an increasingly sort of crazy sports landscape where people can get so much from their couch and so much from their phone, and it's always about sort of incentivizing the consumer about right why they should come out and go to our game versus doing whatever else they could go to the movies. You mentioned attractive style of basketball and up tempo, although, and I know you can't always kill the portal like you did this year, like, I mean, but is that the kind of thing that you kind of want to be a characteristic of the program? You know, Terz had a kind of a way of doing it. We know Coach Willard's always going to preach defense, but do you think the style of play and attractiveness matters in terms of the whole sort of program and making the whole thing go?
Well, first and foremost, I do hope we kill the portal every year.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, you destroyed it. I mean, you chewed it up and spit it out.
So hopefully, no, Kevin did a good job in the portal. You know, style of basketball is important, but what's most important, you guys, is winning. When you win, people come out. When you're playing an up-tempo type of basketball, when you can shoot the three and do the things that we can do, and you got a big man in Derek Queen coming up the court, taking it behind his back and throwing passes, yes, it adds excitement. So, you know what? I want to play the style of ball that's going to be most effective for that particular group that we have, and that's what Willard does. He finds what works for that unit, and this year it happens to be up-tempo, solid solid defense, shooting the three, and having some fun.
Wanted to ask you about this. We're talking with Damon Evans, Inside Access here on the Fan. The basketball team's doing great, but it sounds like the business at Maryland, the business of sports at Maryland, is doing great. You recently had that anonymous $10 million donation, and then today you guys announced that Maggie and Bob Bedingfield donated $1.625 million.
Yeah, we've been fortunate. I have to give credit where credit's due. Our fundraising arm, led by Kirby Mills, has done an outstanding job for us to get the $18 million gift earlier, now follow up with the $10 million anonymous gift, and then the gift today from the Bedingfields is just unbelievable at $1.625 million to go to merit-based scholarships, one in basketball and the other one for all athletic programs. But there's also another piece of it that goes to 1.75 is the total because they've done something with the Maryland Promise Scholarship. So kudos to the Bedingfields for doing that for us. But things are going well right now.
Damon, starting with the top, and Ken mentioned it, there's a buzz around campus right now. Kids have been in the line since 9 o'clock, Jason Yellen was telling us. But
we had to move our cars.
Yeah, exactly. Sold out Xfinity Center. And we know that attendance has been a hot-button topic recently. Kevin Willard spoke about it on the coach's show on our airwaves on Monday. What have you thought of the attendance this year, the fan engagement, and what can be done to sell out the arena more often?
First, I want to thank our fans who have come out to the games. I believe that we have a great group of fans that support our programs, and so I'm grateful for that. Yeah, there are times in which we'd like to see more. The ones that really create the atmosphere are the students. And so we've got to make sure that we continue to keep our students engaged. We'll have a great crowd tonight. We've got to make sure that we keep our young alumni engaged. So we're doing all kind of things to really try to enhance the game day experience, whether it's the new video board that we put in, the new sound system. We've got to look at doing things, in-game experiences that people enjoy. We've got to make sure that we stay in touch with our students, but we're going to work hard as ever, look at our pricing, look at things to make sure that we have an unbelievable atmosphere like the one you see tonight.
How much does scheduling go into that as well? It feels like there haven't been a lot of Saturday games, and the Sundays, like the Ravens are a good organization, right? And the Commanders are now a good organization. So Sundays, if these teams are playing deep into the playoffs, you know, a lot of people are sort of committed to that through their tailgates or just watching the games. And I know the Big East plays, the Big Ten plays all over the place every night, so that's not an issue. But how much thought goes into that? Like, do you try to get more weekend dates? I mean, I'm sure it's competitive, but
it's interesting. We have some challenges unlike some of our counterparts in this league. Being in a major metropolitan area, there aren't too many institutions that sit in the heart of an area like we do. We do communicate with the conference office, tell them about the challenges with the Beltway, the challenges, the timing of the games, and having all the major professional teams around us. So we do try to relay that to the conference office, and make no mistake about it, timing of games, it's significant here at Maryland. So we'll continue to work on that. But there's some things that are just simply out of our control, and we can't do anything about. So scheduling good opponents, timing of when we play the opponents, all those factor into our crowd and how this building is filled up.
You mentioned some of the timing, and part of it is because now an 18-team conference, and there's teams all over the country. We were joking off the air yesterday. We love the Big Ten commercial where the cities pop up, and we wondered aloud when the expansion happened, would they keep that commercial? Because we liked the commercial, and they did, and you got Oregon and Washington and USC, UCLA. What do you think now that we've been through year one of basketball, through year one with the expansion, and do you think it's going to stay at 18? Could it get any bigger?
The way that this world of intercollegiate athletics has been evolving, nothing would surprise me. I think right now we're going to stand pat, but every time we say that, something happens. As far as the Big Ten and how this first year went with basketball, you know, Kevin and I were talking. When you look at that map, you got those way out on the West Coast, yeah. And then you got those of us who are way further east. Mm-hmm. So we're going to travel further than the majority of the people that were already in the league, and obviously the four out west are going to travel more than anyone. But you know what? We have to settle in and figure it out, and I think Kevin's done a good job of that. But make no mistake about it, I understand that traveling can be difficult and the timing and so forth, but the way our world is changing, who knows where we'll be traveling next.
Well, Damon, we know the men, they're ranked 16th, but the women, they're 19th, and they've won 4 or 5.
Oh, the women, it's interesting when you take a look. Unfortunately, we've been hit by the injury bug for our women's team, but they've continued to battle. We still are trying to play for a double bye coming up in the Big Ten tournament. We have Indiana tomorrow night, which is a huge game, and then we come back here this weekend to wrap up the regular season against Ohio State. So we need to take care of business there. I have every bit of confidence that we will. And then we head into the tournament. So hopefully we head in with some good momentum and do some of the things that Brenda and women's basketball have always done.
We obviously are here because of a basketball game, and we think of the university a lot of times through the sports programs. But for you to see the institution continue to rise and get the accolades, I hear this. I've got kids at that age, and you keep hearing, you know, who are the premier public Ivies in the country, and Maryland is there. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. When you have a top 20 public institution that you can tout when you're recruiting young men and women to come to this institution, it's just another feather in our cap. I have to give kudos out to our administration. Dr. Daryl Pines has done an unbelievable job with his leadership and continuing to have our university ascend. And being identified as a public Ivy, that's a huge, huge marker for us. So I'm excited to be part of such a great institution, one that really well respected.
It could potentially be a lock in for next year, enrolled at the University of Maryland.
Damon, everything would have been signed, sealed, delivered as soon as that email came in. But I don't know. UConn, he's waiting to hear from UConn and NC State.
Let's get this taken care of.
I wasn't going to bring it up. You saw who brought it up. It's already a bone of contention in my house.
Yeah.
But I think we'll be all right. I think we'll be at the right place.
I believe so. I believe so.
Do you care about, back to the basketball, like now that Maryland's getting national attention and you've got like John Fanta saying they're a four seed and Andy Katz has them eighth in the country and everybody seems to have them on that four line, does that stuff mean anything to you?
Absolutely. When you go into the tournament's all about matchups, and that seeding helps out a lot. And if you run the analytics and you say if you're seeded ninth compared to being seeded fourth, what are the chances of a four seed getting to the Sweet 16 compared to a ninth seed? There's a big difference. So those seed lines are significant. Also location where you may end up playing. So yes, I do follow that. I like where we are right now, and I believe if we continue to win, we'll only have an opportunity to move up.
Real quick before we let you go, it seems like football things are heating up, and like but the one kid closed his recruitment. Things are looking up on the football side as well.
You got to give Locks credit. He always pulls a rabbit out of a hat or two or three. He's done a phenomenal job, he and his staff, from recruiting. The number 22 recruiting class, I think we've got, you know, Malik Washington coming in here at quarterback. Zymir, I think it's Smith, Zahir, Mathis. There's so many great players coming. Kids shutting down their recruitment. So I'm excited about to get a chance to see these kids play and what they bring to the table.
Maryland Athletic Director Damon Evans, always great catching up with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
You guys are welcome back as long as we win tonight.
Yeah, yeah, we'll do our best.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. I've been playing with Selton Miguel at the Y, so see how that goes. We'll come back. We'll get a little more Purple Rain, and what's the future kicker possibly for the Ravens? We will hear from what Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh had to say yesterday here on The Fan.
Yeah, well, sure. It's, every position is important. We're going to look at every single position, but certainly different years, you look at different positions. We're looking at kickers. I mean, we're looking at a lot of positions. We're looking at every position, but I'd say the kicker position would have been a priority no matter what because, you know, Justin's our kicker. We love him, and I expect him, would have, you know, always expected him to keep going forever, but nobody goes forever. So we've got to look at every position like we do.
Nothing lasts forever, and that's sometimes timeline is shifted when you are inappropriate with 16 therapists at different salons around the state, allegedly. And so the Ravens, they're going to be looking at kickers. And so I think they draft one. They're obviously going to be looking at kickers more aggressively than they have in a long, long time.
Look, it's really hard to handicap how they're handling their PR crisis and their morality crisis that has gripped ownership here and left them somewhat, comatose.
The league's taking care of it.
Yeah. There's a total stasis in terms of leadership, and they're now hiding behind the shield, and that's not, unfortunately, that surprising. But
the way that Harbaugh and DaCosta lit up when asked about the options at kicker outside of the guy they're currently paying, I found fairly telling. I don't know if or when exactly we'll have clarity on Justin Tucker's status in terms of something short term, like a commissioner's exempt list or the finality of him being released. But I still have a hard time thinking he's being paid to kick footballs for this team.
No.
Either, you know, in the summer leading up to the inevitable suspension or on the other side of an inevitable suspension. There's still a part of me that thinks Justin Tucker's not going to kick in the NFL perhaps ever again. But they have to throw themselves into evaluating this position at a level they haven't in the past. And Harbaugh's talked about, or maybe it was DaCosta, hey, our kicking coaches are going to go on the road. They're going to travel. They're going to look at these kids.
Well, before we get Bone your thoughts, here's EDC, what he had to say about that.
Well, I think like every position, we're going to evaluate, rank the board. We've been doing that for the last 29 years. We're blessed to have a really good kickers coach in Randy Brown, who does a phenomenal job evaluating punters and kickers and long snappers for us every single season. We'll meet with Randy throughout the process over the coming weeks. He'll travel all over the country looking at these guys, and we'll build the best board that we can.
So there you have that. I think they're leaning into scouting kickers a little heavier than they were a couple years ago. I think that that's very fair to say. And I would be absolutely flabbergasted if Justin Tucker kicks a football for the Ravens ever again. I would be shocked if he's here by training camp, and quite frankly, I'm very surprised that he's even here right now.
To me, it would take a series of events that I find completely impossible or unlikely to occur for him to be kicking for this football team.
Well, I'll take it a step further. I would hazard to surmise that if someone had asked Eric DaCosta a question along those lines and John Harbaugh about the kicking position a year ago, both would have laughed and been like, why the hell are you asking us
that?
Yeah. Haven't you seen? I understand our kicker maybe didn't have the greatest year, but he's the best kicker in the history of the game. Mm-hmm. Have you watched how many game-winning field goals he's kicked? Like, that would have been the response, right? Is, huh? This was not that.
No, not at all. And John Harbaugh doing the mental gymnastics throughout all of it to get to the end of it.
Yeah.
It was
pretzel logic.
Yeah, man. It was definitely something. But they are absolutely in the market for a kicker. Does that mean that they have to draft one? No, they've never drafted a kicker in the history of their franchise. But they're good at finding these guys. And we've talked a lot over the past weeks, month, about guys that have been here that are kind of quote-unquote camp bodies but gone on to have good careers in the NFL elsewhere. So you have to have some confidence in this organization to identify and develop kickers.
Yeah, one thing they seem to be good at is finding kickers, whether they be here or elsewhere. And yeah, they have 11 picks, and we think they could have 12 picks by the time the draft comes around. They could draft a kicker, but you can find undrafted guys. Sure. And like two of the best kickers in football now, the kid Bates in Detroit and the Dallas kicker. Brandon Aubrey. They were found in that other league. Like, so there are many ways to find kickers.
Sure, and that's why you don't have to draft. But with that being said, having that many picks, do you just want to get to the front of the line and not have to worry about the whole undrafted free agent process? You have that option as well.
I mean, sometimes we get caught up in our Baltimore bubble, and we just look at everything through the portal that we experience as people who chronicle these teams, you know, every single day. But, like, just think about an NFL kicker. Like, he's a kicker. Like, he's a great kicker, but he's a kicker.
Yeah.
And this thing is festering for almost 2 months. Like, how many teams, like, it's not like you're moving on from your quarterback. It's not like you're moving on from your number
one
pass rusher.
He's a very unique kicker.
You know, I get that. But, like, how many teams would stand by their kicker like this?
Not many.
Especially at this point in his contract, at this point in his career. Like, if you just step back and say, in the history of the NFL, how many teams would endure these two guys going out there shucking and jiving verbally to try to make sense of this over a kicker?
Well, going a step further, and it's tough because, like you say, we're just in Baltimore. I'm not going to random Steelers-Browns games, hypothetically, but
I'd also be curious how many other NFL cities their fans wear Kickers jerseys.
He was the face of the franchise for a while.
But even before him, there were a ton of Stover jerseys that people would wear.
We're a weird place, Baltimore.
I
wear it proudly. We're a very bizarre place. We will come back.
They turned on Ray Rice like that when that video came out.
They did.
And they're still leaving the door somewhat open to this guy being a part of their football operation. They have not closed that door.
No. Before the video came out, they stood by Ray Rice.
I know. And there's not going to be a video here.
No, there
but
will
you
not.
Would think that that might have somehow informed them or changed them. No, it just created a BS policy that never meant anything anyway. And now they're at least sort of admitting that, it never meant anything anyway.
It will come back at that corner. Orioles and Pirates down in Florida. What happened and what did we gather from that? How did Sagano look? We'll tell you in the hot corner next here on The Fan.